Welcome. This is Tucson's Future, presented by the Nova Home Loans. I'm your host, Edmund Marquez. Each week, we spotlight the movers, the makers, and the masterminds creating what's next for Southern Arizona, the projects redefining our skyline, and the people redefining our city. Let's dive in. Today's guests are the director of Film Tucson, Peter Catalanote, and Blake Eager. Executive director is way easier. Executive director for Sports, Tourism, and Film Authority. So welcome, guys. So glad you're here.
Thanks for having us.
I know you outside of this podcast. This will be super interesting. I was telling Peter before we got going, don't tell me anything before I sit down to talk to you, because I want to do this on camera. So super exciting. So if you see any movie filmed here, which hasn't happened as much as it has in the past, I'll just throw that out. We'll get into that. We're going to get into that. We're going to get a little scrappy, Latino and Italian. Like, it's going to be good. Then the white boy off the side. But it was going to be good. You and me, baby. So if you see a commercial shot here, I think there's recently was a car company filming something on Mount Lemmon. That's all Peter. Everything goes through Peter's office. This will be super interesting as you learn about what Peter is involved in that's being filmed. But it might even be more interesting for the deals that are brought to you that we don't do. There's got to be deals that we just don't win, right? Because Georgia's been kicking butt. New Mexico's been kicking butt.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Oh, sure. But I want to hear them, because there could be like Spielberg wanted to film the next E.T. in South Tucson, but we didn't win the award. So like, that'd be super, super interesting, by the way. So, okay. So Peter, we're going to start with Peter, if you don't mind, Blake. That's cool.
I don't mind at all.
All right. I don't piss you off. Yeah. So I just want to hear about what's happening in your world. Give us a mile high view and then we'll start drilling down.
Sure. Right now, things are just starting to ramp up. I'm sure anyone watching would know. In Tucson, it's scalding hot. We're just getting out of the scalding hot season. During the scalding hot season, no filming takes place whatsoever. No one wants to come here to film during the summer, but fair enough.
Where are they filming during the hot time?
They're going to back east. They're going to other parts of the country and the world that are, the temperatures are much more manageable.
I gotcha.
So our busy season really starts in October. And then pretty much ends in May. Sometimes June, there might be something that goes a little later, but typically people don't want to film here when it's so hot.
Even the film industry gets the hell out of here in the summer.
Yeah, okay. And it's really for the safety of the crew. And actually, truth be told, the equipment as well. Some of the cameras can jam from excessive heat or shut off. So we're just starting to ramp up into our busy season right now. The nature of our job is such that we can't talk about some of the things
here,
we're
here you can
on.
Though. This is a special bubble.
It's safe space. Right?
You do whatever you want here.
Yeah. We can
talk about what we've done then.
Sure.
You can talk about that.
So I can talk about the things that shot last year. We had a feature film called Choir Practice starring Danny Trejo that was locally produced.
Locally.
So we're really proud of the filmmakers.
Sally Shamrell.
There you go.
Yeah.
We were really excited to see them moving forward. I know it's something they've been working on for a while. And to get Danny Trejo here was...
That was huge. Sally Shamrell was on Channel 4 for years ago. Mm-hmm. I think she was a beauty queen back in the day.
She might have been. She's still kind of a beauty queen, isn't she?
She is. She's beautiful, but she also... she's been in some movies as well. I think she was in the Marvel series, I think. She and her husband owned the Cork. They bought Jonathan's Cork.
That's
so if you want to eat some emu or... some of those strange meats there, they're delicious. Go to the Cork. Okay, so go ahead.
Well, so she and her husband and a team of people really created this film, and they'd been working on it for years. And we're always excited when a local group gets the funding together and makes it happen. And then they got Danny Trejo to be in it. That was super cool.
Great.
We had a feature film from BET, Black Entertainment Television, called Onyx. It hasn't aired yet, but that was really great to have them here. They mostly shoot in Atlanta, but there were some specific things that Tucson had that they needed.
Like,
and that's, our desert. Really, it's our desert.
They went from Atlanta to the desert?
They wouldn't have found that in Atlanta.
Okay.
You can't fake saguaros.
Yeah,
We've seen shows where they fake saguaros.
So
it just doesn't work.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And last year we had a lot of unscripted / reality shows from HGTV. I actually have a little list here because I can never remember all of them. We have so many things. Zillow Gone Wild, My Lottery Dream Home.
They have a Zillow Gone Wild?
Zillow Gone Wild. Wow. It's
it
was actually started as maybe an Instagram page. I'm trying to remember. And now it's an actual series, and they go to the homes.
It's about the crazy homes that have like water slides inside of them kind of thing. Oh, we have those homes here?
Yeah, we have a few of those homes here.
Like what? Did you go to the
I didn't. We don't know what home they chose. We're going to find out when the show airs.
Very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what else we got?
So We also had a Military Makeover, which is a really popular show on Lifetime. It's a makeover show like you would find with any others, but it's specifically for families, military families.
Oh, very cool.
And so it's very heartwarming, and Visit Tucson did a lot to support it because it's so good for the community. So that was a really great thing. Montel Williams is a host of that show.
Oh,
so
nice.
He was here for quite a few days. It was pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah. Where did he stay? You can say now he's gone.
Yeah, I must admit, I can't remember where they stayed.
What?
It was probably JW Marriott is my guess.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. We may not have been involved in that because Visit Tucson and Film Tucson, of course, we help organizations or filmmakers that come in and they're looking for lodging. But shows like this, they're dependent on product placement and a lot of deals that they make behind the scenes with a specific brand. And so they did the lodging on their own. We didn't really have a hand in that.
Yeah,
that's fine.
So taking a step back. So why does this matter? Besides, we like to see Tucson on TV, et cetera. It's all about economic development. So as 100%. These film crews come in, so we at Rio Nuevo for a moment there, we had invested in HBO's Duster series, which only went one season. It wasn't that good. I hate to say it just wasn't that good.
And it had fake saguaros.
It did. And the car thing at the very beginning, the little toy car intro was kind of cool, but it wasn't that good. Anyway, they did like 100,000 hotel nights or some crazy number.
It was exactly 97
hotel nights.
Room nights.
And so why does that matter? So again, we always talk about in this podcast, the income of the city. So Visit Tucson, there's a hotel bed tax that each person, when they come and stay here in Tucson, pays that tax. That tax then, well, kind of goes to the city of Tucson. City of Tucson lops off a big percentage of it and a little bit goes to Visit Tucson. Then they use that money. I'm going to be controversial. I've talked a lot of smack in this thing. Sure. So they then use that money to invest in movies may be coming, or a TV show may be coming, or a bowl game might be coming, et cetera. Like teams coming, they use those dollars to basically promote Tucson, and they might promote in Georgia. They might promote. They may go to like back east during the winter and show beautiful Tucson and people golfing while they're freezing their tail off in New Jersey and say, "Come visit Tucson." And that's what that money is used for. So 100%. Economic driver. So keep going. Give me some give me some cool stuff.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, let's go back to talking about Duster. It was a really fantastic show to have here, obviously, with Rio Nuevo's support. They were filming here for about 5 months, and it was for one pilot episode. They spent $10 million officially, but it was probably more than that. Getting that show here changed everything for us. We have so many connections in the industry now, and one of the main producers for that show is working on bringing a feature film here that we can't talk about, but it just shows that I'm sorry?
Who's in it? Like who's starring in it?
I can't talk about that. I'm
really
sorry.
Really good episode.
Yeah.
He's like Michael Jackson.
So when Duster left, obviously we were all very saddened by bummed. That, but we got a lot of positive out of
Phoenix.
It.
It went to Phoenix.
No, we went to New Mexico.
Oh, it's a New Mexico. Yeah. That was New Mexico.
Yeah. The story was set in Phoenix, but they didn't film any of it in Phoenix. I think they did what's called plate work in Phoenix, but they didn't do really any filming there. It was all for the pilot done here. And then the incentives issue, for those of you watching that aren't aware of this, different states offer tax breaks to lure filming to their region. And Arizona finally has some. It's great. But New Mexico's been doing it for a while. And so
we have a cap on ours? Because I think one of the states like Georgia doesn't have a cap.
Yeah, Georgia doesn't have a cap. We do have a cap, but I will tell you the cap is not the important thing with us yet. We're kind of in a weird space right now because of the strikes, the two strikes that happened, Writers Guild and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. They knew AI was coming.
I forget what the other strike was already.
That's good enough.
As a result, a lot of the studios now are taking things overseas to avoid having to work with the unions.
They feel that the unions are.
Yeah. So we always adapt. Tucson always adapts, just like the desert plant life that has to adapt to rain and no rain. We adapt to whatever the market is doing. And so if a lot of things are going to countries that have better tax breaks or let's say lower wages paid to their film employees, We adapt by going after reality shows again. Those are easy for us to go after. We have a lot of very unique things. And Tucson is remarkably easy to film at. We hear stories in Los Angeles about the amount of red tape and bureaucracy just for the simplest shoot. And we're always delighted to tell producers to come to us.
Shoot. I thought you were going to say something else.
No.
That's good.
No, shoot. We're always happy to tell them, to inform them how friendly the city of Tucson and Pima County are and how they embrace filming and want it here.
Yeah.
So that keeps a lot of filming here and it brings in a lot of filming. The reputation with every film company that's come in is Tucson is film friendly and ready to go, ready for business. It's really nice for us.
And how long have you been in your position?
Well, in my position about 5 years, but I've been at Film Tucson total a little less than 30 years.
I thought it was a long time. So,
yeah.
So if you look back on your 30 years, what were the heyday moments? Like when were the years that was most exciting in your 30 years?
I would say the last couple of years that HBO shoot was.
So Duster did it. I mean, Duster was your highlight.
Yeah, that was by far the biggest show we've had in a long time. Again, going back to the issue of incentives, for the longest time, Tucson really could only go after fashion shoots and reality shows because we didn't have film incentives. We did not have state film incentives for various reasons that I'm not going to go into here. But as a result, New Mexico, it's politics.
Yeah.
Georgia and New Mexico were definitely stealing a lot of things from us. Canada was stealing a lot
of things from us. New Mexico ate our lunch for a long time. And I believe the Avengers or the Marvel movies were being shot in New Mexico and then they finally moved to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. There's a lot of things leaving Georgia now to go to Europe.
Oh, wow.
To avoid the unions.
Marvel is?
To avoid the unions.
And then you have Albuquerque that had Breaking Bad. And the reason why they went to Albuquerque because it doesn't look nice to begin with. So it was really easy to do a crack show there.
I'm just kidding.
No, that's not
you're fine.
No, actually, many people may not know this. The original script for Breaking Bad was set in Santa Clarita, California. That was originally where it was going to be.
Oh, was it really?
But then the
producers needed, good luck.
They had to find a way to save money because it's an expensive show. And so they searched around for the best incentives. New Mexico won. And so that's the whole reason when you watch Breaking Bad, it's all those New Mexico locations. It's because of incentives.
You know, and I got a lot of friends in Albuquerque. That's why I talk smack about Albuquerque. But I got a buddy who owns a restaurant there. I won't drop the name on the show, but a lot of the actors were going to his restaurant.
Yeah.
And Albuquerque absolutely embraced the Breaking Bad crew and had such a great time with them because the actors would just hang out in the community.
Yeah.
They were there for so long.
Wow.
And another thing too, just to speak to the incentive piece of it. I mean, when New Mexico got theirs, their governor went out on a tour of the world saying that we have incentives, please come shoot here. Right. So when you have a champion at that level, kind of preaching it from the mountainside, it opens the doors a lot more, especially from a government standpoint.
Yeah. Well, let's shoot to Blake here for a second. Cause I'm interested in, tell me how your two organizations are related.
He's our film chair.
Yeah.
So he's on our board for SASFA. Peter and I worked on a lot of different projects very early on before any of this stuff. We were going to the Capitol on a weekly basis to try to work on the incentive package for film and then also SASFA at the same time.
And so explain SASFA to everybody.
Yeah, we're a political subbody of the state of Arizona. We have six counties. We have Pinal, Pima, Santa Cruz, Cochise, Greenlee, and Graham. And anything in sports, tourism, film, or workforce development, we want to be a part of it. So I've been kind of the little brother at times for Peter whenever he needs me to make some phone calls and or just be a part of something.
And so when did you get started? It's been about a couple of years now.
Yeah. We're almost 3 years in, 2.5.
And what are your biggest victories so far?
We brought Major League Baseball back. I don't need to go any further.
That's pretty good. So when you're talking Major League Baseball, you're talking about Tucson baseball team.
No, I'm talking about the World Baseball Classic, the Arizona Fall League, and hopefully spring training next year.
I just wanted you to say it.
Yep. You're good.
And what do you do as you look forward? What are your goals? What are you aiming to do for the community?
Yeah, that's a great question, Edmund. Specifically help people like you, right? So the mover and shakers are community, especially with what you guys just did. So first and foremost, I need to congratulate you.
Because
what you guys were able to do with you specifically is phenomenal. You and Ollie have done so many things
for the community. What we did, just in case you're wondering on the podcast here, is myself and Ollie Farhang just put together an investment group, which included 10 more CEOs. And we just purchased the Tucson Sugar Skulls, our professional indoor team for the IFL. So super excited. I'm now the president of a pro football team. Never thought I'd say that out loud.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. And a reporter said something to me, Damien from channel, is he four? He's 13.
Sorry.
What he said yesterday, which I appreciated off camera, he said, you all are bringing a relevance to the Tucson Sugar Skulls. And I'll say on this podcast, because I was bragging to these guys earlier, we opened up our suite sales for our suites, not suite, like suites, like your luxury suites around the field. Thank you. They spelled it. Good Italian guy. That was fantastic. So we sold them out in 5 minutes.
It's unbelievable.
It's incredible.
Yeah, we sold out 12 suites at $6,000 in 5 minutes. But yeah, it's coming. It's happening. So, but thank you. And Blake has been a huge, I will say, supporter and cheerleader of everything going on local sports wise. But tell me where you're going, what you're doing. How can we help you? How does film come into play? Like, tell us where you're at.
Well, a big piece too that you guys were talking about economic development, especially from a Duster standpoint with having J.J. Abrams, but the amount of jobs that it created while that show was here for the 5 months is substantial.
Yeah.
So anything in that realm, right, when we're moving forward or creating workforce as an additional incentive for the film industry is big. Peter's been working a lot with Pima Community College and some surrounding community colleges to create workforce from within. That way, if a film does come here, a shoot comes down here, we have the workforce to supply that.
Do we have the workforce right now?
We do.
And then I met a guy, he has a film equipment company off of Broadway. Who's that? Who did I meet?
Well, off of Broadway, that might be something different. The big company here that rents equipment for filming is Monsoon Production Services. And they're actually on the west side near the railroad tracks and kind of one of the historic warehouse districts there. You might be thinking of another one, but they do rent things to film. That's more... That's an AV company, I think.
Yeah, he was trying to see if he's in the Rio Nuevo district.
Got it.
Nice guy. So tell me about Old Tucson, because I every time I talk to you, I think about Old Tucson.
Sure.
We know what it was. Back in the day, like in the 60s, 50s, you could literally, a lot of the kids back then, there were only a certain number of high schools. So one of the biggest high schools was Tucson High School. And the kids would get out of Tucson High School and they'd get a ride to Old Tucson and they'd watch Western TV shows being filmed after school. I mean, you'd see Dean Martin walking down the street. You could see John Wayne. Yeah. Then there was Bob. What was Bob's name?
Bob Hope?
No, that started Old Tucson.
Oh, Bob.
That's so bad. I'm forgetting.
I don't want to go that far back.
That was the romantic time of film and TV in Tucson.
I mean, the Rat Pack House is on the market, by the way.
Is it really?
Up in the foothills. Yeah.
Is that the Martini House?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
It's kind of funky, though.
Yeah.
What is it?
Shelton.
Thank you. Bob Shelton was a beautiful human being.
Yeah, he really did a lot.
So I used to play tennis with Bob Shelton. That's why it's so bad. I forgot his name. But Bob Shelton, he was John Wayne's business partner and he was here in Tucson. So he literally would have Paul Newman sleeping on his couch. Just when he'd crash out, when he'd come to town, he had a tennis court at his house and Clint Eastwood would go over and play tennis.
Yeah.
And he told me that he knew he made it in life when he was in Rome. And he was sitting down for breakfast in the morning with Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor was serving him breakfast.
Oh my
gosh. I was like, come on, baby.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
I think my life sucks.
Yeah.
His stories were amazing.
Yeah,
though. Kathleen O'Hara.
Oh yeah.
That was in The Quiet Man with John Wayne.
Yeah,
he would drive her around in his convertible like Cadillac during Tucson.
That's incredible.
I mean, those are romantic times, right?
Sure,
that's
sure,
amazing.
Sure.
So we've come. So Old Tucson, I remember the night I was driving down I-10 when Old Tucson was burning and I could see this massive
distance
orange glow.
Yeah.
And it made me so sad as a Tucsonan, as I knew something bad was happening. And I learned, I think I was in high school. I learned that was Old Tucson burning down.
Mm.
So they rebuilt it. It became more of an amusement park. It had suffered for some years. I appreciate the Diamond Ventures kind of holding on to that property as long as they could.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got purchased by a pretty big conglomerate that I think has something to do with like trains or something.
Yeah, a railroad company out of Durango.
There you go. So where is it today?
So actually they didn't purchase it. They're just the managers of it. It's still Pima County. Pima County owns it. It's
Pima
County
property. Diamond had a lease.
Okay.
All right.
That's exactly. Yeah. Well, right now they're going through Nightfall. It takes place in October. That's their big breadwinner.
Which is fun. That's a ton of fun.
It's a ton of fun.
Scare the hell out of you.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I think we have enough stress in our lives. Why the hell would I want someone to scare me?
I just have to look at my computer every morning when I wake up.
Exactly. Right. You can go to like, what is it, Knott's Berry Farm or something, and they'll scare the crap out of you.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I'm not paying for that, man. Like, who wants... I'm already stressed enough during the day. Some Yagov jumping off and scaring me. Okay, sorry. We segued.
No, it's okay. Well, so Old Tucson, as usual, we take filmmakers there to scout it as a potential location, as well as Mescal, which used to be their sister city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's outside of Tucson. They both have their advantages for filmmakers. So we always make sure that they get to see everything, including Gammon's Gulch. That's another Western town.
The what?
We have Gammon's Gulch.
Gammon's Gulch.
It's not far from Mescal. It's it's somewhat close to it, but you have to take some back roads to get to it. Unforgiven
filmed here? Did we not have that?
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was another big Western that came out.
The Quick and the Dead?
Maybe the Quick and the Dead, Sharon Stone, Gene Hackman, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah,
so we had Leonardo DiCaprio here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, would we win that nowadays?
Hard to say. The complexities of why a project comes here or doesn't come here, it's so much more complex than in Bob Shelton's day, because the incentives mean everything now.
Yeah.
And so New Mexico has a lot of Western towns. And so they can lure Westerns away from us. What few are made today typically go there. Montana has stolen some Westerns from us. Texas.
Yeah.
The whole Yellowstone franchise happens in Texas because of the tax
breaks. Happens in Texas?
There. Texas.
That's cheating, man.
The filmmaker, the showrunner is based in Texas, so that's part of it too. So the particulars of why something filmed somewhere doesn't.
And there's good Westerns still. I just saw The English. Have you seen The English?
Yeah, that was really good.
Mm. And then I just saw Ungodly. Right.
Yeah.
Did you see Ungodly?
Yeah, of course. I should sit it.
Come over, man. Just come over and watch the movie together.
Yeah.
Oh, come over, man.
I had to sneak into this interview just to say hi to you, man.
I know.
I'm waving in the crowd yesterday.
This is how loose we are. Like, he wasn't even supposed to be here. We just sat him down.
He told Peter, don't tell me anything. Peter's like, all right. I got a big white guy surprise for you.
That's true. No offense on the big white guy, Tom. We got you here.
Yeah.
All right.
So basically, the market's very competitive. So Old Tucson does get some filming, but they're in competition with everywhere from Canada, Montana, Wyoming has Western towns, Texas, New Mexico, especially. Georgia has some. They look a little bit different. Obviously, it's more grassy, but it's more competitive than it was in Bob Shelton's day.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
Bob Shelton said our number one competitiveness was the proximity to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big
And he said back in the day, we didn't have travel like we have. Mm-hmm. You can't jump on a Southwest jet.
Yeah,
so it was really simple for an actor to come out and shoot a TV show,
and be able
to fly back to LA, do a movie, film their piece, and then come back to their TV show.
Well, we've actually won some projects because of that. There's a, I forget what year it came out. I want to say 1999. Three Kings, starring George Clooney. And
Mark Wahlberg
and Ice Cube.
Yeah.
It's set during the first Iraq War. They filmed all of it, except for one little scene in California. They filmed all of it in a an abandoned mine outside of Casa Grande that we found for them.
Really?
Yeah. So the Warner Brothers came in, they built an Iraqi village there. The whole thing was filmed there again, except for one little scene. And one of the main selling points for the producers was George Clooney at the time was doing ER. And so he had to go back and forth to the set quickly and efficiently. That.
Yeah.
And so that was part of what the producers liked, that there were something like 15 direct flights to LA. So
they weren't going to green light him doing that movie unless he could, unless he could get back and forth quickly.
You are correct. So sometimes that proximity gets us a show. It's pretty exciting when that happens. Yeah.
As we semi-aim to wrap up, I'm going to just give you my perspective. Then I have a question for both of them. I know both these guys outside of this podcast, and I will tell you, Peter is resilient and he adapts. Like, no matter what's happening with our film, whether we have incentives or not, or whether Tucson's attractive at the time, he continues to adapt to bring whatever he can here to activate our economy. And I appreciate him for that. So thank you, Peter Cantalanote. So that's very nice. Blake absolutely loves our community, and he loves it through a sports lens. Right. And he wants to do what we can. We as a community need to continue to embrace our local sports, whether it's Tucson and Roadrunners, whether it's FC Tucson, the new baseball team, whether it's Fall Classic, whether it's the Mexican Fiesta baseball classic, whether it's Tucson Sugar Skulls. Right.
Yeah.
We just got to make sure that we support. So just give me very simply, what's your vision as you move forward? What are your hopes and your vision? And think high. I mean, have a high bar. What are your hopes and visions for film in Tucson?
Sure. My hope always with Arizona is very high. I'm hoping that the incentives we have right now are strengthened by legislative process to make them more competitive, specifically with New Mexico. That would be my big dream. And then we will kill it. Our weather, our crew base, our ease of filming, we could kill it. If our incentives were tweaked just a little bit better, we could do even better than we're doing now.
So simple secondary question, is I've always wondered, and it's great to get to ask you here. So is there an ROI for the state legislature with tax credits? Because I know that the film company spends a certain amount of money. They get a tax credit. They then take this tax credit, if you're wondering, and they put it on the market. And they sell this tax market for whatever percentage of the credit. And then they're able to basically use that money to help them fund their film.
Yeah.
Is the state legislature making money on this?
Are they losing money? The legislature's, the state is making money in this, but I should correct you. It's not, they're not selling a credit. That's called a transferable tax credit. We don't have
that. Oh, I thought that's what that was.
No, this one's a little bit different, but I will say, really, for me, this is no different than all the other incentives that the state offers to lure, name it, Amazon, whatever company you want to name. It's no different. The reason these things exist is because they do bring in the business and they do hire the locals and they do pump money into the hotels and restaurants. These things are a win-win.
Then why would a legislature push against a tax credit?
Oh, we can have a long conversation about that.
Give it to me in one sentence. Is it just politics?
Some of it's political ideology, which I understand. The argument being that government shouldn't be weighing in on the free market. The free market should be completely free. I understand that argument.
You don't
incentivize,
you're not competitive. There's the Rand Wable perspective.
Yeah, the market isn't free because all the other states are offering incentives and we're not. So now the ball game's happening and we're in the nosebleeds watching from a distance. I'd rather be there on the field playing that game than sitting it out and missing.
That's my take. I think film is a win-win-win all the way across. 100%. All right. What's your vision? Where are we going? Where are we headed?
We're talking about just unifying all that piece of it, but identifying experts in their field, unifying our community with those experts leading the direction on how we're going to go. I mean, right now you're talking about working with companies like Garmin, Major League Baseball, Arizona Fall League, and then having Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl here. I think we have all these things moving in the right direction. I don't think we're doing the best job we possibly can of unifying the community and having the right people lead that direction. And I think that's what we want to do.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you from the Tucson Sugar Coast perspective, we're all in.
Yeah,
and we will absolutely. Work with. I'm already working with FC Tucson. Yeah. Already working with the Roadrunners.
Yeah,
yesterday from stage at our press conference, I announced a one ticket for the three sports, and that's what the media caught on to. And we're all in. We're already talking about it, so those things are happening.
So the other stuff that we're talking about too, Edmund, is finding out a sports and entertainment media component. So the question has been and will be, why aren't more people going to games here? Because I do believe we are a sports town or we're an entertainment town, but I don't know how people are getting their communication. So having a specified media company that is able to now put the same thing that you're talking about under the same umbrella and everybody's working and voicing their same concerns and getting those answers is going to be hugely beneficial to exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag on something we're working on. So Tucson Sugar Skulls, if you look at the TCC, it's U-shaped. There's a big wall and it's U-shaped, right? Our arena. The corners, if you look at the heat map of where people sit, people don't sit in the corners. They just don't. So we came up with an idea for nonprofits. And while I was driving into downtown right now to meet you all, I thought, I'm going to expand this to high school sports. So we're telling the nonprofits, the least expensive ticket's around $19.
Yeah.
So we will sell that $19 ticket to the whether it's a high school sports team or whether it's a nonprofit for $10, and they go sell that ticket for $19.
Yeah.
So they make a pretty good upside on the ticket, and then we do a 50-50 within the game so that they can make money on a 50-50. Then we highlight the high school team and or the nonprofit during our games, and we fill those seats. Right. So we just have to have access. And I think we need to do a better job of going out to the crowds and the people and really engaging with them and inviting them into our sports teams. Because we as City of Tucson, if we can fill those seats, whether it's FC Tucson, Roadrunners, Sugar Skulls, Tucson baseball team, whatever, we have more value as a franchise and we have more money to invest in the quality of the game day experience.
I mean, listen, Emden, you hit the nail on the head. The thing that we haven't done a great job is connecting with our youth and connecting with older adults, right? Those are the two groups that usually tend to go to sporting events the most or to entertainment events the most. So what you're saying right now is connecting the school piece to the professional athlete standpoint. Now you're creating general talent and general fan base, right? The only reason why I'm a Packers fan is because my dad. The only reason my dad's a Cubs fan is because of me, right? So it's a transferable stage, and we're going to continue to be those fans for the rest of our lives. And then our kids and those kids and those kids. So what you're doing is absolutely correct about it.
We're on. Awesome. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah,
this
thank
has
you,
been
man.
Fantastic.
This is amazing.
No, we're having fun. Yeah,
thanks, Peter, for letting me kind of get in your way a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Let's do this again tomorrow.
All right. I'll be here.
I'll stay on the couch.
Thank you. Thank you. That's it for this episode of Tucson Future presented by The Nova Home Loans. I'm Edmund Marquez. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow the show on your favorite podcast platform and share it with others who care about what's going on in our community. And don't forget to visit novahomeloans.com. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time.